It's cold outside. Winter decided to come back. I guess it never really left, but it's cold. I'm cold. If I'm cold, it's cold. So I hope that you are somewhere safe. I hope that you're somewhere warm and comfortable and that you are ready to listen to another episode of Night Talks with Sasha. I am your girl, your diva, Sasha, coming into you live for another episode of Night Talk. So, tonight, as you can see, we are going to be talking about Risa Tisa. It's a conversation that we started last Friday, and we didn't really get a chance to hit on that topic of talking about the 50-part series. Well, I guess you could say 52-part series of Who the Fuck Did I Marry? I know that everyone else has been talking about Legion and whether or not she did this and the red flags and all of that. And I get it. Everybody else has talked about it ad nauseum. And I guess you're thinking, what else could you say, Sasha? Well, I'm going to be talking about Who the Fuck Did I Marry from a different perspective. I said last week, we talked about my co-host and I talked about red flags. And so tonight, I want to get into about those red flags again. I also want to talk about the amount of backlash, criticism, judgment, but we know that's going to happen because someone has put their life out on social media for everyone to pick through. But I want to go from a different perspective. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Also, we're going to talk about the mentally handicapped and how they go viral. And when they go viral, there is no one there to really help them, protect them. And it's sad what happens to a lot of these people. Of course, I know that if you've been on social media, if you've been on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, you know most of the people that I may be speaking of. Some of the most prominent and the most seen mentally challenged people that are out here is they're not just mentally challenged, but they have physical handicaps as well. One is Kat Johnson. I know that you've seen videos of Kat. You've seen videos of Shamar. You've seen the videos of Mellow Yellow. And I'm sure that there are plenty others out there, but these are the ones that I have personally seen their content and that I can speak on. So we're going to try to get into that conversation as well. Also, we're going to talk about people and their bad behavior. When you're on social media, again, when you're on social media, you leave yourself open to critique, criticism, judgment, and things of that nature. We know that. That is the beast. We get it. Okay. But my thing I want to talk about is I don't really want to call it bullying, but it's this instance of where you make a snotty diss type of comment about a person, a disingenuous comment, but then when the person that you made the comment about comes back and answers you, oh, I didn't mean that. I love you. I love that you on there. But a few minutes ago, no, my thing is keep that same energy. A few minutes ago, you were talking about how I looked and my face and, you know, all of that rhetoric. And now because I've come back and answered you and responded, now it's, oh, well, yeah, okay, I understand. No, stand on that bullshit you talk about. Stand on it. Like, really? Like, you said it, and I've come here. Let's have a conversation. Now you want to kiss ass. And I want to talk about that. Let's get into the conversation. So, as I always say, let's talk about it. First, though, before we actually get into the conversation, I want to introduce my guest, co-host, Ms. Deidre Gibbs, editor and CEO of HPS Magazine. She's on here. She's got some stuff that she wants to talk to us about and tell of her own experience with the Risa Tisa, Who the Fuck Did I Marry? Hi, Deidre.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, I'm just peachy.
How's the weather in Texas? Let me know. It's warm.
It don't know what it wants to do.
Yeah.
It's Y'all got the cold front. We got the heat back. But I think we had the cold front for like a day. I want it back.
I'd rather have it. I don't know. Hell. Because as I get older, I can't take the cold and I can't take the heat. So I got to pick a struggle.
Texas has both struggles, and he just can't make up his mind. Because I think the cold's supposed to come back, but it needs to come back quicker.
Yeah, I'm just, that groundhog thing supposedly saw its shadow.
That is on some medication. I don't trust that thing.
Me either. I think that they be tricking it. And you know what? I do believe that they do give it, like, that little groundhog. They give it a little medication, a little something.
Mm-hmm. Somebody throw some of that little therapy right down the hole. Like, come on, go, go. Yeah. Come up with this at any old time. Come to the light.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what I think happens as well. But I'm glad that you're in a safe space and that you are cool. This is hot.
I'm in a good space.
Okay, good. Because I'm freezing. But anyway, so we were talking personally. We were texting back and forth, and we were talking about the Risa Tisa. And you asked me a question, and I think that you asked a really – I'm just going to jump into it if that's okay.
Go for it.
You asked me a really great question, like, why was there no one around her – trying to help her, showing her, because a lot of times when it comes to those red flags,
if you're not used to, never been around it, but the people around you have, who spoke up? Even if she ignored it, who spoke up? It's not out. See, when it comes to these type of situations, because this unfortunately is not isolated. This is normal. Even though people don't want to, like, acknowledge it, trust me and believe that out of half of the people you know, every other person has either gone through it or experienced it or know somebody who has.
Exactly.
So they can't say, like, all that judgmental stuff. But my question is, who tried to help her? It's one thing to say, okay, she wanted to, put all her faith into him because it sounds like she was only guided by herself. She wanted to believe him and not believe what her instincts were telling her. That was just her. So where's all the backup to be trying to back her up?
I think they were there.
They were, but distantly, from what I'm hearing, even on the main person I've really heard that's really been there is somebody who used to date her. Any other thing I've ever seen, is always putting down, like, how she didn't see this, how she did that. Like, yeah. They were surprised about this. But if you knew it, what did you say? Even if she ignored it, did you repeat the warning sign so far to keep an eye on it, just to be on the lookout, even if you decide to stick with it? Okay, just be prepared. If this happens, so-and-so. This happens, yeah. This might be going on. This happened. Where is that when it comes to the situation?
I think that one person that may have done that was her aunt, because when she did, when her and Legion did get married, she told her uh-huh. aunt about it. Like, they had a falling out, or they had a fight or something, and she was telling her aunt, and her aunt was like, oh, you married him, you know, not yeah. only stay in this abusive situation, but she was like, well, now, baby girl, you know, you've married him. You did that. Mm-hmm. And she was like, she told her aunt that they went to the courthouse and got married. And her aunt was like, you married him? Mm. You know, and yeah. I think.
That's one person. But yeah. I'm pretty sure there was a lot of people. Because, you know, for her to be going through this stuff, she spoke up to somebody. We don't keep that kind of stuff to ourselves, hold that all in. She spoke to someone.
I don't think she did. I don't think she did.
I don't know if she's really said anything or even put it out there, because maybe she don't want to put those people in, you know, extra people into the whole situation.
Yeah.
But for her to be so freely to say it to, say, somebody she just met on the first date, that's not the first person she spoke to.
Mm-hmm.
Because she felt comfortable enough to say it to a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a background to that.
Yeah, so, I can agree with that.
That's why I say to who,
yeah.
we don't know.
Yeah.
But to say that she didn't, no, because she came off, her behavior just even going off to the first guy on the first date, that showed no, because that was too much willing to tell. If you're going to completely hide, you know, go through all this, you're going to hide, that's just too much stress. That's too much crap. That's just too much in the brain. You have to get that out.
And she did get it out. She did,
but I'm saying, but during the process or something?
No, what I mean is, let me say, she got it out by doing, she kept a recorded journal.
Oh, yeah, I know that's things. Journal, even when it comes to recording journal, yeah, that's for your mindset, but you still have to get comfortable to say it to someone in front of you.
I don't think
if you it's like one thing. It's like, because I keep a journal of every, when anything gets too much boggled in my head, sure, I can write it down. I can keep my own journal. But that mm-hmm. doesn't take away from me getting it out of my system.
Mm-hmm.
That just helps, you know, clear the head a little bit. But to get it out of your system and then to know, am I doing the right thing? Am I not doing it? That's gonna fill up those spots you just put in the journal.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say you're gonna speak to someone. It could have been a coworker, someone who don't have anything to do with it. You know,
and that's a good point. She really, you know, she told her part, and I guess maybe, like you said, she didn't want to expose someone else and put them in there.
Yeah.
And the people that she, like the real estate agent that she was saying that, you know, spoke to her when she was at the Quick Trip and told her something's not right. And listening to her story, there were a lot of times and a lot of instances where people said to her, something's not right. Something ain't right about this. But then at the same token,
mm-hmm.
she wanted what she wanted. And I can understand that. And
oh,
I can
definitely.
And I can relate to that, because when you've made up in your mind that you are going
to be that person,
yes,
you're gonna stick good, the good, bad, and ugly.
Yeah.
When you put yourself in, you're in.
And especially, and also there's another angle to that. When you have had people, because I can say from my own personal experience, I had my friend telling me, something ain't right about him. But instead of me investigating that something that's not right, instead, I dug my heels in even more to say, I got this. This is my shit. I'm going to work it out. I'm going to do this. I made this choice. Yeah. I want to be here. And I think that...
That's what she was doing.
Yeah. I think that that's something that...
Everybody does. Because when we always... Because what if we tell our other fellow females... When they get in a relationship, when you're having issues, don't tell everybody this, because everybody not always gonna have the right answer for you.
Exactly.
So, but yet, then when stuff goes down, well, why didn't you say something? You give so much misleading information, so it's like, oh, you don't tell nobody, but you could tell me. I'm like, no.
And then in other situations also, I had someone tell me, I said, if you see this person around my home, call law enforcement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this individual said, well, you said that he wasn't never coming back before, and he came back. So how do I trust that you're not going to let him back again? And when you say that kind of stuff to people...
That puts up a wall.
It does. And it makes that person that has reached out to get help out, well, I can't talk to them, because you feel judged.
Yeah. Oh,
because
I understand what everything that she's went through.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had my own little story, adventure. I'm about over 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It thankfully never got to that extent, but if I wouldn't have had my medical background, I could see how I'm like, oh, okay, I could have seen. Yeah, you know, that could have been not to even too close to what she went through.
Mm-hmm.
Because that mentality that the guy went through, that mental illness, that is so deep in our culture, and it's another thing that's always kept. Oh, that's something we don't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about that.
Yep.
And it's like, but now it's getting to the point to where we're telling our men, yes, it's okay. You can show your sensitive side. It's okay to cry. It's okay to. Now, but when you start showing me your mental stability is not up to par, don't show me that. I'm out. Peace. Gotta go. No.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why people of age now, they're like, okay, you have mental issues, but I'm gonna be there with you. I'm gonna try to help you. I'm gonna, go to the counseling with you. Make sure you see this. We're gonna try to do that, because it's like we just gave the men the opportunity. You can show us that you need help. You don't always have to be that strong black man. You can show your strength and weakness.
Because
you're showing the vulnerability.
True.
And that vulnerability is if you know that there is something not right with your head, it's okay. Oh, it's okay. You can tell me. You can own up to it. Hell, everybody not perfect, especially in the brain. You know, too many females, they're like, no, we know every wig got a name, and there's a reason why, and it ain't because of the style.
Yeah. True. Yeah,
so,
and you, but at the,
both for you.
But at the same time, though, and I'm with you in what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree with you. But you can't help someone if that person doesn't want to admit that they got a problem.
No, I don't. If they don't want the help, that's when you see out of any red flags, because everybody, one person's red flag is not going to be another person. If your final red flag is for you to realize he don't want the help, that 9 out of 10 is your red flag, because you're going to be there and do all those things, and if they choose it, they don't want it. That means, baby girl, he don't want you, because you've been trying to do everything to be there for him, to hold his hand through it. And if he don't want the help, that means that includes you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a red flag. And that happens. And that's when, okay, you get it. That's why I don't knock everything, little red flag that she went through before, because like I said, everyone's red flag is not always apparent to every person at that stage. Because one person will like, oh, he's always on his phone. But if he does so-and-so, you know what his work and stuff is like. Okay, his phone is like that, so, okay. You see something different from what others tell you, then okay. It gets a bypass. That means we're going to let it pass for now, but we're going to buy our time and keep an eye on it.
Exactly. And I think at the same time,
mm-hmm.
Everyone's red flags are different. Everyone's red flags, they present differently, and what you see and what you don't want to see. But then there are certain
TikToks, not to cut you off, I think with all these TikToks and when people put themselves out there, everybody loves to get on the gravy train. Oh, somebody may have a comment, and oh, we're funny. So they just add it on, and it's like a domino effect. And it gets to the point to where it's about the comments, and it's like what the person actually was going through and trying to say is lost. Because all the same thing is, he can say, ah. And I'm like, no, let's bring it back.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because everyone wants their 5-10 minutes of recognition, or because you can't even say fame, because it's not really, but everybody wants to be recognized.
When they get that hand click, that thumbs up click, that's what gets them off. It's not the 5 minutes anymore. It's it's the like.
Mm-hmm.
If they can say something and it gets that like, you get that adrenaline bug, you get that little itch. And when you get that little itch, just like a tattoo, you get one, you get that itch, you're going to want another.
Yeah. And I get that. And I do. That's why when I do talk about certain topics that are out there, just like this particular situation, I try to bring it back to or pick up something different than just talking about that person or that situation or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I try to give a different narrative to the story so that it's not just, and I know when people see it, but at the same time though, you have to do things, put things out that's going to catch people's attention. And in the midst of them going through clicking and seeing, you know, this title or whatever, I'm hoping that if they click on and think they're going to hear more whatever, but instead they hear a conversation that is deeper and broader than just talking about somebody.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to do when I talk about certain things. So, you know, but I get it. But it's also, you have to.
20 years.
Huh?
I'm thinking back to that story I said I was going to tell. I'm like, I think it's been about 20 years. I'm like, oh, God, I'm old. teeth.
You're only as old as you feel, but yeah.
I'm older than if we're going to go that route.
Some days it's better than some days it's just like, what the hell? Yeah, I get it.
There you go. Exactly.
Yeah, I definitely get it. But I'm going to let you tell your story. Go ahead and tell your story.
Yeah, I know you're itching for this one. Okay, let's go back 20 years.
Oh,
here
wow.
in Houston, yeah, we have a Metro Rail. Now, for those that are here in Houston, there's usually when you're on the Metro Rail, it's like either you're just a regular person. Sometimes you'll see police officers on there, or those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's rare that you find firefighters. Now, for me, where I worked at the time, I worked really close to the medical center.
Okay.
But I'm like, a good 5 or 10 minutes away from it. But it's like I'm in the NRG area. And instead of going, where I worked at, it was easier to get on the rail to like go get lunch because in the medical center there's, a lot of restaurants or whatever. So you can get something
yeah.
to get on the rail and come right back on.
Yeah.
Now, those that know the area, that area, there are, if I remember correctly, 2 fire stations in that direction. So I've seen firefighters on the rail. It's not that kind of shocking for me. And this one particular guy, one firefighter, is approaching me. And he's trying, flirting and trying to talk. And I was like, okay, let's see what this one's going to try. So I'm like, okay. Hey, I'm sarcastic. I'm like, okay. So he's trying. I'm like, okay, impressive. We're talking. It's going good.
Mm-hmm.
So right there, that first one, because if anybody else says firefighters don't be on rails, actually, yeah, they are. Because just like for me as a CNA, it's quicker, easier, and cheaper to get on a $1.25 rail. And firefighters don't even have to pay the $1.25 to go into the medical center, having to worry about parking, paying, trying to get back around. They do
yeah.
the same thing even when they go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Second, their uniform. Firefighters here they don't always have to be in full gear. But
okay.
when they're on the clock, they do have their own like shirts that they
mm-hmm.
wear. And I know this for 2 reasons. One, I work in the medical field. I deal
mm-hmm.
with firefighters having to come to my job.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the shirt. You can't eat and see it. You can't. If they'll get sued. So I know the shirt. Plus, at the time, I was helping a friend who was trying to become a firefighter wear the freaking shirt. So his wardrobe checked off. And there's a story behind the wardrobe. So I'm like, okay. So I know the kind, so I got an idea about their schedules or whatever, stuff like that. So you spending some time, spending like a certain amount of hours with me, then be, not talking to him for days, that didn't bother me. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
that's fine, cool, whatever. I'm new to the dating scene, so it's around this time, so I'm like, okay, cool. But people around me, they see flags,
sure.
but no one spoke of it. And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
They
saw flags, but they didn't see anything.
That's why I said, where were the people around her? Because
okay.
even though I'm, I'm pretty stubborn, but whatever. But if somebody who is looking out for me
mm-hmm.
sees something, they say something.
Yeah.
And if you don't say something and want to talk afterwards, you're not looking out for me. Okay. So I'm like, okay. That includes family, friends, anybody, neighbor, a godparent. Everybody counts.
Gotcha.
Now, we go on dating for about, I'm going to say, 2 months.
Okay.
And it's decently going, for me, smoothly. I'm like, he took me to my first hockey game. We got in. Hey, it's firefighters night. They, get in free.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all for a decent at all. Well, nobody got to pay. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Red people, other people, flag. I'm like, no. But I did wonder why, like, when he would go get something to drink or whatever, people behind us were laughing. But I'm like, you know what? Big girl, about every size guy.
Okay.
I try to ignore it. I'm like, I'm not going to go there. I'm having fun. Not knowing that the people are laughing because when he went to go get snacks or whatever, he was trying to flirt. He was flirting with people. While I was sitting watching the game.
What?
But when he came back, normal, cool, arm around, around the shoulder, eating popcorn, watching a hockey game. I'm like, okay, this is, oblivious.
Mm-hmm.
Until my red flag came up when, now he even went with me to a doctor's appointment because he was like coming, going on break, and I had a doctor's appointment, so he met me there.
Mm.
I was like, okay, so fine. I'm like, okay, cool. Brownie points, okay.
Mm-hmm.
My flag came when cars were passing us, and he started getting angry. And I'm like, I'm keeping my mouth shut because I've learned that working in the lockdown unit, observe, don't speak, just observe. Mm-hmm. And these cars are not like someone driving too close to us or any kind of crazy scenario for someone to be getting angry at.
Mm-hmm.
They just on their merry own way driving down the street. And I'm like, okay, we got an issue. Mentality. I'm like, that was my red flag.
Yeah.
Looking at him like, okay, there's a mental issue here. I'm like, wait a minute. Did you see someone look and say something or point or something, and I just didn't see it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what happened? And whatever he was trying to say didn't add up. It didn't add to it. I'm like, you couldn't have seen that big of a scenario in under 2 seconds.
So, okay, go ahead.
That's when I knew, okay, there was some mental issues going on here.
So did you ever find out what his issues were?
Yes. He had some mental issues, all right.
What?
To find out that he was a complete liar. He wasn't a firefighter. He likes to pretend he was. But here's the thing. When it comes to the shirt, the uniform, I found out through one of his family members, there is a fire station by his church. He would go there, visit, but he would steal. So he would steal their uniforms, and he would go around pretending that, that he is
was a firefighter.
Yes.
So.
That there's no.
Okay. I know you said that he had mental issues, but did you find out exactly, was it like schizophrenia?
Oh, he was a combo. And I can go through that with, nobody had to really tell me. I can really see it. Something is health related, think about, I've been in healthcare for over 20 years.
Okay.
So even at that time, and with all the mental cases I've dealt with, when I know my brain is, it's time to put the healthcare hat on, get on, and I super glued that sucker. To stay.
And what's so funny, what has got me tickled is this. Well, come to find out with Reese Tisa's ex-husband Legion, he also has mental illness.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's a common thing. When people try to say when people get into video games and they get into these characters that there's an issue because it's like they want to be these characters and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, everybody wants to be someone. It's when you, when the reality of it, you try to make the fantasy the reality.
Yeah.
And it's not. That's where the mental, that's when the mental issue comes into play.
It does.
And sometimes it can be mild to the point where they just need to talk to someone, because it's like, what is it about that character that makes you, that you want, that you cling to? And that might be a, makes it a self-esteem issue. It might not always be, okay, he's schizophrenic or he's bipolar or he's just flat out just, you know, all these different things. Just a compulsive liar.
Yeah. Well, when it came, when I was listening to Reese Tisa talking about her marriage and Legion and everything, I was listening to it and I was like, because he was having 40-minute conversations with no one on the phone. And I was like,
They are creating a scene. They are in act two. Because they want you in that illusion, so they play along with it.
And they a lot with schizophrenia.
The one that I dealt with, he was like trying to talk to this, saying this, going like, oh, he has to do that. Find out that, you know, he was going through his, and I'm not going to go through his phone. He's like, here, you can see my phone. I'm like, okay, I see. Who's she? I took a picture of that phone number and so talked to her. Oh, he, guess what? He got a baby with her. Well, he got her pregnant.
Oh, wow.
But that ain't even, she, me and her, so we became cool to the point we're like, oh, we're going to confront him. I'm like, but I can tell this child is juvenile to the point she thinks I'm her competition. And I'm like, no, sister, you're the winner. This is all yours if you want this. There was so much that he was doing, and it was like I couldn't press charges. I looked into pressing charges because it's against the law. You're pretending to be an officer. That's against the law. But because he has a mental illness, no charges.
Well,
There's a way we got him in jail.
There's a way for you to get caught, but you have to be in the midst of doing it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
There's other people to get to that point. There was so more victims. But when the final time in jail got him, the victim paid such a hard price. And it wasn't just the fact of, oh, no, seriously, health-wise, they paid a serious price for him betrayal, him lying, him, you know, because he would always go back to these fire stations and steal their uniforms. If it wasn't that, you know, he was still the badge, or he was still the shirts, or he was still, you know, he was still the whole outfit. He was still equipment. Because he would go in. And it was like, the one that was in that neighborhood at that church, because I got real close with, I think it was his uncle. And that me and him stuck to blue till he passed. But we, yeah, that's how we were able to pinpoint, you know, there was so many victims. And it's sad to say victims. And then, because when he, because his, no, his victims were, he was, he went after mentally and handicapped. Passing on. But at that time, he started, and what was able to catch him, he started passing an STD. And that was able to pull, but when he got caught, it was him giving it to minors.
Oh, God.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. I mean, he's just
so that's what
everywhere.
So if he was, because he went to working at, I want to say it's like a halfway house, you know, basically where it's like a safe house for people, for kids who was going through trauma. So he was supposed to be like a mentor or whatever, but he ended up molesting and raping.
Oh, God.
And he has an STD that you cannot get rid of at that time.
Oh, wow. That's horrible.
So they were able to pull, so that, you know, all these children, I'll say victims, having the same STD. So everybody in the, that's working there at the facility get tested. He's the only one with the matching STD. That's how they were able to get him.
Oh, Lord. That's horrible.
But the first time he went, he got pulled into jail because he didn't pay that metro fee, that $1.25, and that's how he first served time for $1.25.
You would think a firefighter could afford $1.25.
Yeah, a firefighter don't even have to pay it. Because those cops that you normally stand there, sometimes, they go through and they're checking to see your fare card to see who's paying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're just patrolling. Some of them are checking to see, did you pay your fare?
You know, and I think a lot of times people think that when someone is mentally ill, when they are mentally disturbed with schizophrenia, or that they are not.
They think the movies and what they see on TV.
They think that they're not functional. They think that they are irrational a lot of times, and that's not the case.
That's not all of them.
No, it's not.
They go through phases to where they might just seem like, they're high strung. They may seem like they're just passionate about something. They just, they're just an angry person. All these different things when it comes, because it's just when certain things that ignite, they ignite that. That's when you find out. Her mother was heavily bipolar to the point where I'm like, girl, you already know. She got tested and knew she was bipolar, but refused to take medications.
Mm-hmm.
I refused to be friends with her. And everybody up for it like, I was being mean. I'm like, no, because we already know how bipolar is combined with what you see with her mother. And I already see with all the crap that you've done at this particular time to get to this point to where I'm like, no, there's no way I'm going to put myself in these situations knowing it could end with medication. And you choose not to. Since you made that choice, I'm making mine. Peace.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, your peace is always more important than a lot of things, but... Also,
but it's like far as somebody, if some people are going to be there for you, it's like everybody needs someone, but it's a give and take. It can't always be take. Once you do, because that caregiver or that person who likes to give, if you drain them dry, what is left for you to take until you move on? You just move on to something else. Until she, that person get their energy back for you to come back and try to take it.
Some people don't ever get the energy back.
They just
drain.
They become big.
But I can also understand, because I know some people personally that are bipolar, and sometimes it's not that they don't want to take their medication. It's when you're taking that particular medication for that condition, it's hard for you to have a life sometimes because the effects it has
on you. Some people resist taking it because it's like they can't be themselves without having to take it.
I get that.
But then it's like there's times where, okay, you work on your dosage. There are ways to go to deal with it, but the fact of it is dealing with it, not ignoring it or I don't want to deal with it. That's the problem. That's like somebody who's an alcoholic, you date someone and you see right off the bat, you go out with this person and they have a drink or whatever, you see they can't hold their liquor. Now you see they can't hold their liquor and they tell you later on that, you know, they've always had a problem with their liquor. Now if you stay with them and you know that they need some AA and they don't go, are you going to stay? Even though you know, if you do, you've made that choice. But you got to give that person that choice too. That if they don't help themselves, how? What am I here for? Because I can't help you if you don't help yourself.
That's true. And it's a double-edged sword sometimes because
it really is.
You have
when I brought up frenemies. Yeah, that was that's a bipolar story right there.
Yeah, like I said, I know some people that are bipolar. I know some people that have major depression, and it's all the medication does what it's supposed to do.
At a price.
Exactly. And sometimes for some people, that price is too high. And then sometimes the medication stops working.
Yeah.
And they have to continue to try to find something, you know, that works. But then,
and that's the thing right there. You continue to try no matter what it is.
You do.
If you're with somebody through thick and thin, if you choose to be with that person, if you're knowing and they're trying to fix that problem, you just like when any relationship, you don't listen to the naysayers. That's your relationship. That's your life. But when that person is being manipulative, lying, stealing, being all compulsive, all these things that you are not aware of until you see your red, and you don't even find those things out until after you see your red flag. That's where for me, I don't hold that person accountable for those missed flags because they weren't shown it. And if, like I said, where were all these people to? Where was these other people to say? Because like I had people try it, and once that their mouth started, I shut it. I'm like, why are you saying it now?
Okay. I think that you can see them. And okay, this is what I feel.
To a degree.
Yes,
If you're new to it, if you're new to, and these are flyers that, okay, you see that it's something, but you can't pinpoint it exactly because you never experienced it. You hold on to it, but just like you're learning a person, is it something that, and so you're in your mind, you're like, is it something I need to be worried about? Is this just, this is just how this person's personality is? Is this whatever? Is this something that I can't deal with? You try to figure out, can you handle the situation? Because at what is being shown to you. And the and the key factor is what that person is showing her. And even though it's an illusion, she has to go, she can only go by that illusion. Because nobody around is really giving any instance of to go against that illusion.
I hear you, but I disagree. I think that illusion is what, in this particular case, I think the illusion is what helped made her continuously hold on. Not so much because she didn't recognize. She had moments where something didn't feel right, but instead of trusting herself and in investigating those moments and taking a step back, she locked in. And that locking in thing, that's a thing within our community that we hear. I lock in. You know, you got to lock in with your man. You got to lock in with your man. I'm with you. And that
you
shit is toxic.
You know, if you don't lock in with him, somebody else going to lock in with him. So you got to show your grounds. Let him know that, I'm going to be that girl, that chick that's going to be there for you. We're on the exact same page. That's why all she had to make her evaluations was the illusion. We're on the exact same page.
Mm-hmm.
So can't knock somebody for the illusion. That's like somebody who watches supposed to be a true to life movie and then find out. And everybody's all in it, and you know, spends for the pay per view and all that kind of stuff. Then get upset when they find out, they got the information wrong.
And I don't think that you can knock. My thing is about the judgment and the knocking of her you can have your opinion. That's a given. Have your opinion, but to have your opinion. And for people to look down on her as if they themselves have not been in these same similar situations, that's my issue. Because
a lot of people are not trying to knock her down because that's stuff that's supposed to, even though it's like an old school thing of keeping it on the low, you know. We don't let people know that, this person took advantage of you this way. We don't let people know. I'm like, no, you let people know so that way somebody else can know to know better.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this is what that person's doing.
Exactly. Tell, and not only that, but your story is your story. And you have a right to tell your story.
How
it happened to you, how you viewed it. Now, if it's, and like she did, she came back and she tried to correct some things that were wrong, was asked to correct some things, and she did that. And, like, I don't have a problem with that. And I get it. I totally get where she's coming from, how she did what she did, and how she said what she said. And I don't judge
her. And for her points to where everybody's saying, well, why didn't, I'm like, no, I get it now. Foresight, like they say, foresight is 2020.
Mm-hmm.
You see it now, but you didn't see it back then. Who hasn't done that?
Exactly.
But you want to say quick, that's because you see it. Because she's telling it. So if she wouldn't have told you, you wouldn't have anything. Those people, negative people, wouldn't have nothing to say.
And again, not only that, but to try to sit up like Charlamagne, that's big back behavior. No, there are skinny women, smaller women with little backs, as T.S. Madison said, with little backs that have the same damn issue. They thirsty.
Like I said, every other person on this planet has either been through it the freaking selves or know somebody who has. So it's just the fact that you just want to put down the person who is willing to speak about it.
Exactly. And they put themselves out there. And that's sad. And that's the reason why you have so many people that will keep things to themselves instead of expressing it and telling their story, because there's so many people that will go on and just ridicule them.
It's sad to say, why do they trying to change the laws for when a female is ever raped? Because right now they have 7 years to say something. They're trying to increase it because it's like. Because why? Because they see it's when they go to somebody, it's like, it's your fault. They want you to keep it down. So if a person gets brave enough to actually say it, you put them down to the point to where it's like, oh, you shouldn't have said anything. So that's why now they're trying to increase the time frame to where it's okay to speak up. Because we hear you. You know, that's something that needs to change. And that's a mindset of everybody.
It is. And you can change laws. That's like I was having a conversation with a friend this morning. And, like, we were talking about racism. And I was saying, you know, like, I would like to eradicate this and do it this way. And do it that way. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. But if you don't change the mind and the hearts of the people, then it's really not going to matter. It's really not going to matter what's done.
Because if that village is not there to support you, how are you going to, what's going to make you speak up? Because you have to say something for somebody to make you feel comfortable to go further. To be louder.
Exactly.
So if your village doesn't have your back, how can you expect someone to not have a history, a negative history?
And you know what? And I like that transition of what you just said, because that's going to roll us into our next topic. If you don't have a village to protect you, then how? Because I just see this conversation, like I see these people that are going viral, and they are, you know, they are our people that need to be protected. I know that
you can tell something's off, and it's like they're being coached to a degree.
Yes.
And sometimes the coaching is because they see the money aspect of it.
Yes.
Sometimes they get them into the fame of it. But you can tell that there's somebody behind it, but it's not for the right reasons.
Yes.
Because it's like those people are willing to sacrifice your mental health, your physical health, or a bank account.
Or and your freedom.
Your bank account is just for the likes.
Yeah, and it's sad because then you have, you know, what brought the topic up for me was I was watching YouTube, and it was a young lady on YouTube. I'm sorry, I can't remember her name, but she was talking about the Kat Johnson. She did like a expose, and then she was saying how she couldn't really find anything. She couldn't find a lot of information. And I'm thinking, you're not going to find a lot of information because nobody really cares about. And then, you know, I've never watched her live, but she was showing video clips of her lives where her mother's in the background, just saying some of the most awful things. Like, yeah. You know, it's just a lot. It's a lot. And I'm like,
you got the purr.
Who should be responsible?
It's helping me understand. It's sad when it really makes it go viral. It's never because of, oh, I was in a trial. It's because of the downfall. It's because of, like, the tomb is so much of the negatives. Like, this person went through all, put this person through all this, and it's like, only thing that comes for their 15 minutes of fame, and it's like, it's the negativity.
Yeah,
it's not that they're trying to help this person. You showcasing this person's with Down system. You're showcasing this person's mental health. You're showcasing this person's disability. But you're not showcasing them working through it or fighting for it or showing what, you know, going, it's, you know, using it for gain.
To make
that's
fun, to ridicule.
That's
what's so disgusting
issue.
To me.
That's will always be the issue when it comes. That's why there's so many organizations and stuff like to protect. Because it's, unfortunately, it's like those organizations are having to reorganize themselves, especially because they have to get used to online. Because normally they have to deal with it face to face or schools and stuff like that. Now they got to worry about online crap. So they got to get themselves more aware because online is through the world.
And also, I believe, Deidre, that a lot of times they go online and they go to showing and performing, because that's all you're doing, they're doing, because they're lonely.
They see everybody
else. They're lonely.
It's like, that's what's in 24/7. When you see, you watch YouTube, they all doing this, all these people, these different people. Yes, there's Hispanics doing this, there's white, there's all these different people, average people, not these movie stars that you see on the movie screens or TVs, doing these acts. And they're doing it in their scenario of everyday life. Giving that false illusion that this is normal and, this is how they do it. And they're trying to see, can they make it believable so they can get the likes and they can get the subscribers. Oh, we up to 8 million subscribers. Yay. We're up to so-and-so. We made it to 2 million. We got to thank everybody. But y'all doing the exact same trend, the exact same way, doing down to the T to, oh, I've got to, how many times can my husband / boyfriend look at my breasts in a push-up bra?
it is. Everyone.
And now when I watch these things because I want to, like, how this is what my great-niece has to look forward to when she watches something outside of a regular movie. When she grows up. And I want to be able to have the mindset to where I can guide this child to learn what to watch for and to realize these are just
characters
acting. These are just characters acting. It's not, I'm not saying don't be, not to be entertained. If you find one that you feel, by all means watch it, but don't believe it's realistic. Don't believe, this person go, after they hit their 2 million for their 25th birthday, they went to Dubai. They really might have. But it wasn't because, it wasn't for the 25th. They just like, they were able to fly.
Well, and you're right. But my thing is this. Okay, you got these people, like the ones that I'm talking about. Okay, you go on Facebook. And it's the, what's the thing called on Meta? Facebook Watch, where you can watch the videos and all that stuff, right? And so you go on there. These people are not rich. They're like, it's this one And this happens, I know, or to 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning when you can't sleep. So you're on Facebook watching, you see all, and I see all this kind of ish, and I'm like, what the hell are we, what are we
doing? This is what we're left for entertainment. There's no more Golden Girls, may they rest in peace. We got the Golden Noodles.
Exactly. This is like, it's a young lady, well, she's trans. He's trans.
Uh-huh.
He's a girl.
Uh-huh.
He's now a girl. Okay. So everyone can look at him and tell that she's trans, right?
Right.
She had videos. She's on these videos. She did these videos. And then it's like, well, I'm pregnant. So then she go around walking around with the little pregnant belly on. Hey, you trans, baby. You can't get pregnant. Then, oh, I got HIV. And so the thing of it is you got these people out here that are doing these subpar, low-budget, bullshit-ass videos, and people are watching it and liking it. And then every time what you throw up, oh, throw up your Cash App. Throw up your Cash App. Throw up your Cash App.
I'm going to send you $50. I'm going to Cash App somebody $100. And this is all mainly triggered straight for the youth. Because grown folks, for the most part, got the common sense to know better.
And it's like,
this is mainly toward you.
All it is, in my opinion, it's another form. You prostituting. You hooking. You prostituting yourself out here for Cash App and for likes. Y'all like my stuff. Y'all like my this. Y'all like my that. And then people are on here saying,
$1.99.
Yeah, you're disgusting. Look at, and you look at the places where these people lit, like Shamar.
Mm-hmm.
He went viral I don't know how many times. He had friends, so-called friends. What's old girl name from Love and Hip Hop? Shekinah or whatever. She had him on her live on her Instagram, her IG live. And somebody, don't you be talking to like that. Don't you be talking about you going to kill yourself, friend. Because, friend, that ain't what we do. We don't do that, friend. But then in the next breath, you talking about it. You calling them nasty, trashy, low brow.
But then
it's like, oh, but you can't, y'all can talk about him, talk about Shamar, but don't talk about his body because he was born with scoliosis. Like, you taking it too far. What's too far?
You can take it too far, but you can't.
But what's too far? That's, to me, that's the question. What's too far?
Yeah,
because I feel like we've gotten too circles.
That's around it. It's too far is when they can't make a profit off of it.
We've gotten
that's
too far
as it is. It's going to be losing subscribers, and your income is going down instead of up. That's when, okay, well, it's gone too far. Because otherwise, they keep going.
Yeah.
So that's when you see these people on YouTube and on the hundreds, they're doing their apologies and they're stepping away for a while because they're like trying to get, because they went too freaking far. People say, okay, whoa, that's too much. That actually hurt somebody. Whoa,
yeah.
I saw a real accident with somebody got hurt. That is like that person, cool. Did you help with their medical bills? All these other things, and you just like seeing us and saying, no, that's not cool what you did. Now there's an issue. It ain't just all fun and games. Like, oh, let's run a speed race and do all this stuff. And when the car crashes and somebody got hurt, what'd you do besides hurt and get the hoodoo out of there?
Exactly.
When you do things for profit, do you pay the price? When those pockets go down.
And my question is this.
Mm-hmm.
So, is Meta or Facebook, whichever one you want to call it, Do you think that they are responsible when these people that are quote-unquote mentally challenged, do you think that Meta should be held responsible for these people going viral?
I give partial. I don't won't say full blame. I like one thing I do give them, if it has to, there has to be an upward. If they don't meet this, their videos don't meet their criteria, like the rules that they put in place, and you know, people complain about it, and they don't strip it and investigate and do whatever. If they don't do that, yes, they're completely liable. But when people do, and they usually take swift action, because I'm like, they're not trying to lose their ducats either, because this is a straight business. So they're not trying to lose their money and people, their ability to bring in people. So, yeah, that's partial. But when it goes into those that, you know, that showcasing and putting all these things into the world for other people to see, those, to me, will always be the core ones that need to go to court, get charged, because you're the one that's putting all the work to create it. The Facebook stuff, they are the aftermath after it's been created, because it takes time to make those scenes and to make those scenarios. So they're not the ones that put that together. They're like part two. Because after all that stuff is done, they're just the ones, it just showed on their platform. Now, if they follow the platform rules, it stays up front. But if people complain and say, this did not meet, the criteria or whatever, then, yes, if they don't take action, then, yes, they need to pay fines, penalties, and all other stuff. But the first person to be fined, it's the creator, not the
Even though the creator, the people that I'm talking about, they are not, they're just getting on Facebook and they are dancing. It's not like some of the YouTube, when they get on there and they do the,
It's not just like, you making, like someone's for the drag race and somebody's videotaping.
No.
If you see something's going on and you put it on live, you created something. You just put it, so that's where you become liable.
I get that. But I don't think you're understanding me. So let me say it like this. So I get what you're saying, that, yes, I agree with you with that. If somebody puts it on there, they are liable. But I'm talking about a person that has a mental handicap. Like, they have the mentality of, even though their body is 39, 40, whatever years old, but they have the mentality of a child.
Liable. One of my nephews was born a crack baby. His mentality will never be his age.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're still liable. Just because you have a mental illness in the court of law, or even with everyday life, it might get some, it might be put into the equation, but it doesn't equate you out. Because even with a mental illness, you had the brain enough to do something that was normally done. You've seen enough to know to follow the format, to know how to do things, to even put it on live and to do things. So there is some normalcy in that particular mind. Now, to say for the full aspect, this person's bipolar. This person is complete, got other types of mental issues.
I'm talking about someone that suffers from mental retardation.
Even still, I'm on the same page. Just because you have a disability, including including mental retardation. Yes, it takes a question to what is, yes, instincts, they have those things, but they function. How does this person function as a regular day life? This person can follow. This person knows how to follow directions because they've seen how this is done, and they were able to repeat it. So it's like this person does these things and any other time to do like the norm. So when he does something that person does something that's a negative, does they get a free pass because their illness? I'm like, well, okay, he had a mental illness, so they, you know, that's the reason why he should get excused for shooting somebody, despite, you know, being around his surroundings and being with, you know, hanging around gang members and being on stuff, because he has a mental illness, he should get a pass.
Mm.
That's not always the case.
No, I don't think that.
I will never say not to put it into the equation, because each equation is going to be different. It's got to be case by case, because one person's, you know, disability is going to be worse than another. But overall, to say that because someone has a disability, they should pass that because they did something. No, just because you have a disability, you don't get a free pass. I'm like, I'm becoming into the disability world. I'm not looking for a free pass. I'm like, I still look and talk and, for the most part, move, but just because, okay, what people see is, like, normal, but my insides, okay, it's a disability. So if I go and draw something, I'm like, well, her disability played a part in her actions to do that. Prove it. Because any other time, it's just seen being normal. So for me, it's a case by case, but just because you have a disability, that doesn't give you a pass of doing something wrong.
No, I don't believe that either. I don't believe that just because a person has a mental handicap, a lot of people are quick to use it.
They're quick.
Well, yeah, I mean,
on paper, if it's like a doctor diagnosed it, they're quick to say, okay, this person has this, so this should be taken in consideration to where even if they're going to get a guilty plea, it's like the sentencing shouldn't be as harsh because this played a fact.
Yeah, because sometimes you have to look at a person's competence.
It's a case by case.
I think personally, it's
hard to say about everyone. It's a case by case, but just by case by case, just to say overview just automatically, no.
No, I don't think that. I think there is a point where people, wait a minute, let me finish what I'm going to say. Hold on.
Go ahead. Don't be alarmed, but go ahead. You know what we both
said. I don't think that someone necessarily should get a pass because they have a disability or because they have a mental handicap. If you've done something wrong, you've done something wrong. But I do, as you said, I do think that it should be a case by case and that person's competency should be evaluated. But now, when I go into talking about going viral on social media and their home life, you can see that this person's home life is not the best and they're getting money. I think that there should be, I feel like Facebook, and I know once I say this and I know people will be like, well, then they'll go against everyone. And I get that. But I think that there should be some type of way to determine if this person has the capability of managing their own money.
That's out of their realm.
It is.
That's,
I get it.
To me,
it is.
You know, so now that's why, like, when it, that's why when it comes to that, they can, now I can see if they put in a pro, and, you know, with all their rules and stuff, if that's somebody that, and you can see usually a disability and stuff like that, when it comes to finances, like, put in to where there is somebody that's working, that whatever money that comes in through them, it goes through a third person, just like with the British conservatorship. But so many laws though, to where it's like, because that's them making decision about somebody that, you know, it's just from a video. They don't have the hard evidence to say. They're just going by what they want, trying to go on their on their platform.
That's true. It's an idealistic.
I think it would be for somebody who, if people like that, when I say that village, if they're gonna be, if they see that somebody wants to do this, I think they, if there was a true village behind that person, they would do the conservatorship. So they would, guess what? They know whoever's around the money is not for money. It's whatever. It's because this is what this person wants with the disability. This is what they want to do. And they're doing it in a healthy, productive way.
And that's my biggest issue.
You know, that would be fine. But unfortunately, 90% of the time, it probably is not.
It's not. And a lot of the times, these people are going viral not for doing something positive,
right,
constructive, or anything. It's where they have just made an ass of themselves. And they, you know, and they're being, and it's going viral because they're being mocked. And I just think, it's distasteful. It is distasteful to me.
And a lot of times people will take the distasteful as positive. They got something out of it. So they'll continue to continue on that level.
Yeah, it will.
Because that gets more views.
It does. At a certain level, at a certain point, that's all that some people care about.
Yep.
Is about the views and not necessarily the people. But yeah. I don't know. I thought that it was a conversation to be had. And that's what I do. I just thought that it was that's a conversation to see what people's opinions are and what they think, because
that's a good topic.
I don't know. I just see a lot of stuff on social media as of late that is really just kind of sad.
That's like when I told you earlier today about the frenemies, because I just saw some story like, oh my God! Yeah, that's a topic.
Yeah,
that's one that
It's definitely something that we can talk about, that we can have a conversation about, because you know that's what we do.
That topic is one that many, 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 many people have experienced, not just in childhood, but in an adulthood too.
Oh yeah. I think also when you talk about frenemies, it would be, when we talk about that, I think that it would also be a good segue into another topic of why is it so hard for women to find adult friendships?
Yeah, that is a good one, because that's the trust. To me, that's a trust issue. That's as much as people say, like, oh, women have issues trusting men. Women have issues trusting women, too.
Exactly.
Trust goes across
the board and not just at one thing.
One automatically can bleed into the other.
Yes, it does. It does. It really does, especially if you have been hurt and, you know, traumatized in some way like that. Yeah, it would definitely it goes across. But yeah, so. But yeah, I wanted to talk about the last 2 minutes. We're going to talk about people that I don't want to necessarily call it bullying. Do you? I don't want to call it bullying.
It, to a certain degree, it is. It's just online. It doesn't.
Yeah,
it's
online.
When you think of regular bullying, you think of high school, middle school, elementary. But when it's online and all that stuff, yeah, it's just online. It's still bullying. It's just being. It's just more online bullying. That's
so what, even though, so somebody that's talking mess about. Well, yeah, I guess you could see that. I can see that.
You're somebody put something positive out and all that stuff, and here you are trying to come and try to knock them down. That's bullying.
Yeah.
What that person do? You coming in trying to make? Yes, that's bullying.
Yeah.
You coming in trying to disrupt their few minutes of shine or whatever.
Yeah.
That's bullying.
Yeah. Would you call?
What sense does this make you go into a post about shut up? No, go away. That's kind of bullish. I'm like, who are you? Do you
yeah.
not know you just said that to a black woman? A black woman with almost 5,000 on her Facebook. Do you really think I don't have a behind? Yeah. Enjoy.
Yeah, I just thought I don't understand. People that do that, you know, like I said, if you have
adulthood, they did it when they were in their childhood.
Yes,
there are some to where I've been around, and
I
like I said, I'm that type to keep my mouth closed and observe. I've just been around ones that did it in childhood to adulthood. I've been around ones that. They never did it as a child, but they wanted to, and they wait. And online was their time to shine. Stuff
mm-hmm.
that they always wanted to do, but they were too scared to do it because they couldn't handle the retaliation.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one that you were talking about, like they couldn't keep that level. Yeah, because that's
mm-hmm.
one of those.
Yeah,
that's something they always wanted to do, but couldn't keep up that tempo because they didn't
yeah.
have no comeback.
Yeah, it's
still yeah. Girl,
yeah.
look.
Those are the ones that really piss
me
off. Those are the ones that piss
me
off.
I don't know. This won't tick my family off. I mean my cousins, not my siblings. This ticked the cuz. Because I, at this particular time, because I'm like, in the groups that we were in, so I had posted a children's post because I'm like it was a kiddie thing, and somebody went on there calling me every kind of bitch, hoe, kill yourself, blah blah blah. They just went down, and I'm just like, are you mad? Why? What's going on? Did you not take your medication? I'm ticking them off to the T. That post kept going longer and longer because I'm like, are you trying to? Bully a grown woman? You're trying to bully not just a grown woman. Me? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Did you? And I'm like, did you not know who you're? Okay, no. So let me introduce you to everybody who's now haunted every page you have. I think they were off Facebook for a whole year.
Oh, wow.
You have your beehive. Beyonce got her beehive. I have my own clique because nobody. I'm that precious one. Nobody messes with Diddy. Diddy don't go on no car, and Diddy don't get played with.
Well, I tell you what I do with people now that say awful things to try to say awful things to me on Instagram. I block them.
When I had to do that post. Remember when I did that post about
yeah.
about homeboy? I had to do that
yeah.
post like. I'm not going to hide. You know, if I don't like something, yes, you can hear me, like, talk under my breath.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, please don't think that inboxing me is going to make it any better.
Better? Yeah, I've had that, too.
Like, you're really going to hurt me more since you decided not to do it bully publicly. You're going to try to bully me. Behind closed doors, like it's gonna be intense.
Shit.
what level of grade school did you not complete?
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, and I'm quick to say that to people. What the fuck? Like, and I hate to say this. And like it happened the other day on Instagram, and I it made me mad when she tried to like with your stupid ass.
You have
a
right to be mad.
Yeah, I don't like people like trying to make me come out of character, but I did tell her go play in traffic.
I have no problem reminding a certain friend, my other friend, when they stepped out of line. I'm like, you do know if my friend wouldn't have passed, you would have been pushed in the traffic a long time ago.
Yeah, like, go play in traffic. Oh, yeah. Everybody, keep that same energy.
And I
don't have to do that.
You know you almost got pushed in the traffic many times. I'm like, she's a ghost. She might be a ghost. She might be a ghost now, but she might still can do it.
I hate saying that, though. I don't.
But no, I used to say it, taking me out of my character. I don't do that no more. I'm like, you're going to see another part of my character because I'm not going to make it to be, like, apologetic to stand up for myself.
No.
That's why I stopped saying, like, taking me out of my character. You're going to see another aspect of my character.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be aspect. You're going to find out how hard I bite when you push to that button.
Because
I'm like, you can poke at it all you want to. Trust me, if I smile, keep going. If I even giggle, keep going. When I put my head back, caution. When I open my mouth, run. Because if I go past talking, running my mouth, it's a wrap. Because I gave you so many times, okay, you're on your, you know, you go for your goal. You keep on if you want to. Now I'm giving you the keys to where it's like you realize if table's about to turn, so that all that poking stuff, that reaction you want, don't be surprised. You're about to get it. And it's not because, oh, I got a lot of character. No, boo, you just saw another aspect of my character. It's not. I refuse to, in this day and age, to be saying I've been taken out of my character. No, my character will protect itself.
Well,
my character will stand up for myself. My character will stand up for others as well.
Well, sorry about that, y'all. I don't have a problem.
No, it's not having a problem
coming out of my character. I do have a problem coming out of my character because, and I tell you why, because I already have a temper, and with me trying to live a better
stress-free life, you want to keep it under wraps. That's fine.
Yes.
Keep that temper calm. But still, that's nothing. When somebody pokes to the point to bring that temper out, it's not, I still say, it is still not something that needs to be apologized for. What it takes to bring that out. If somebody pushes to bring that out, that's nothing to be apologetic for on your part. They have to apologize for the fact that they brought it out.
I agree. And I have stopped doing that. I have stopped.
Because that's another term that was used to keep things on the hush. That's not, no, we have changed that. That's why I'm like, that's why I stopped you. I'm like, no, that's another term. Nope, we're going to switch that.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. I agree with that. And you know what else has also become, now that I set boundaries, now that I set positive and useful boundaries that I can keep that work for me, I realize that I say I'm sorry too much. I apologize too much. I take responsibility for shit that ain't even my bag. And I've stopped that. And I've tried to take that word. I don't have a problem saying I'm sorry for something that happened. But if I have not done anything, I'm not going to back down. I just don't feel the need to do that anymore. And it
If you're sorry, I always tell somebody, okay, I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm sorry you took it that way. I'm sorry you believe that it was okay for you to act that way towards me and me not respond back to you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that way. Because I'm not going to be apologetic for how I respond to what just came out of your mouth.
Yeah.
It will be from your actions.
Mm-hmm.
Only way I'm going to be apologetic for my actions on that in that aspect is just my hands are being cut behind my back. I will apologize. I'm like, I shouldn't have let myself get that way, but guess what? I still probably wouldn't even lean.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes for it to even get to that far, that other person has to do it. That other person has to not just do it, continue to do it. Because even if you can do it, trust me, we're the type of people, we're going to report it and we're going to let, do you see this? Let other people know. So before I go any further, it's going to be known, okay? Shit show is about to start.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be under no, I apologize, you thought that that was okay and you didn't think anything was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I will.
And you know what I like about myself now that I do?
What?
I walk the fuck away.
See, I've done that so much, people take that as just me being passive.
But it's
to a grander scale, to a point to where I'm like, y'all do, I have to remind people, the first cuss word out of my mouth, you heard from pulling me away because you knew what was coming next.
Yeah.
I have to remind people, I'm like, because my father raised me enough to, people say my quiet side is my mother. And that is true. It's like that. My mother is the angel on my shoulder. Now, that's no devil. That's my daddy. go on a cussing spree, go from the head to the toenail, and that's my father. And that's on the other side. That, me and that man, we rock steady to the point where I could put him, like, we good. I'm like, you know, so I listen to my father and I listen to my mother. You pick which one I need to pay attention to. And then I let them continue. So they make their choice.
Oh, I'm listening to you. I had a text come to my phone. Did you hear my phone ring?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm trying to tell them how to talk to me. While I'm still doing the show. But, I get you. I understand that.
That's just something about me. It's not something I learned at a later time in life. I guess because the way that I grew up, I had to be that way from jump. Because I've always dealt with people trying to, I was a fat, obese-sized kid with high self-esteem going around into the hood where if my head was up high, they thought that I was acting like I was high and mighty. So everybody was like, oh, we're going to bring her down. I'm like, you're going to learn that box, bro. No, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And when one person fell, another one would try. So when I had days growing up and I was like, I don't feel like this today, I didn't have no problem about staying home. My mother was just like, girl, go watch the soap opera with me. Tell me what I'm about to miss while I'm in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
My village was a village around that time. So I'm like, I have always knew, okay, you know you going where when you going way too far. But also, you also know, did you do something to create the situation? If you said or did something that could possibly make it go that way, then you deal with it. But when you realize it, when the answer to your those questions is no, you automatically know it's just them trying. You ignore. They're like, oh. But if they want to try to put their hands on, you already know what to do. Just go in and show them. And it always ended up showing them to the point to where I had to show one too many times to where one person, it took one person to go out of the classroom and tell how this one guy kept trying to, you know, he found out my nickname in a math class, because this one math class in middle school, everybody had a really bad name. Like, they even the teacher had, like, some wrestler name.
Huh.
And he found out what it was, and so he tried to, you know, tried to call himself teasing and bullying outside of that class because he thought he was cute. He could get away with it. And it was in a home ed class of all classes. And he thought, he thought he was going to bully and do all this stuff. I'm like, he tried to do a punch, and it didn't stick in my hand, went for that throat, and his butt was against the wall. Everybody was in that class talking about how his feet was not touching the ground. I felt bad for him during the rest of middle school. I don't even remember what happened to that boy in high school. But he was highly upset.
You don't know what happened to him?
But I knew, not in high school, but I know in middle school, the joke that he tried to make me, it backfired.
Yeah.
Because everybody talks about how you don't talk, you sure your feet ain't even touch the ground.
So I had a listener that got confused. They were trying to talk to us on the show. Yeah, but they were trying to text through the call-in number, the 515 number, and they didn't understand that it's just the call-in number for the show. So I'm trying to get them to call in.
Did they have test a comment or a question?
Yeah. They misunderstood what I said. They've never done it before, and so they misunderstood. I told them to call in, see if they can call in and tell whatever it is that they want to tell us.
Yeah,
but
definitely, please add your voice.
Exactly.
That could go with what we're saying. Please, by all means.
Yeah, exactly. But you don't have very long. So if you want to call
add to my sarcasm. It will be funny. The more the better.
Yeah, because
I told her earlier, I mastered in this one.
Yes. Yes. You were right.
I think that's why I'm so single.
I'm sorry. So I don't know if he's going to try to call in or if he can call in. He might not be able to call in now.
Come on to the next show.
Yeah, definitely. So
I have a question.
Yes.
It's about dating.
Okay.
What have you ever been in a situation where the guy is trying to impress you with something,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to impress you, so you reciprocate, and it ended the whole dating situation because they felt like they couldn't compete in that quick of a moment?
Kind of, sort of, yes, I have had that happen.
I want to know, because I'm like, because I've always felt like nobody will believe me what I say, my experience.
It wasn't necessarily trying to impress them with monetary things, you know, like that.
It doesn't really have to be monetary.
Okay.
It's like,
it was my house.
Okay. I'm gonna give my experience to get that. It's like No, because when I tell the story, people think I'm, because of my sarcasm, I'm just making stuff up just to be funny. And I'm like, no, this really happened. This is what I go through.
Okay.
We're just over the phone. It's like just conversating on the phone. It hasn't gone anywhere to where it's like, first, it's like you move from, texting to where finally you start talking. And it's like, I went on a trip to Arkansas to visit my first great niece. And it's like, he's talking to me while he's working and whatever. And he sends me this picture. And it's him with our, at that time, mayor. And I was like, that was cool. At first I was like kind of saying, you know, he talked about, you know, that he lived in that same neighborhood or whatever. So I'm thinking like, is this with you hanging out with him at home? Or it's like, whatever. It's basically he was at a at some event and he was able to take a picture with the mayor. And still, that was cool. That was something he was proud of.
Yeah.
And, you know, he wanted to impress. I remember how I said about the Museum of Fine Arts?
Yeah.
With my name on it.
Mm-hmm.
I said that. Disappeared for the rest of my life. I'm like, why can't I be proud of what I do? And you didn't even get the back. You didn't even get the back history for it.
Exactly. Yeah. Well,
you could have been bragging around that you're talking to somebody who gets their name, you know, heard in all the country.
Exactly.
Australia is not the U.S.
No.
You need a passport.
Exactly.
So, I'm like, that's a hell of an achievement for somebody that lives in the hood.
Mm-hmm.
But,
well, my situation,
I got both tips.
We were dating, you know?
Uh-huh.
And he invited me to his house for dinner, right? It's like,
okay.
Thank you. And I went, and he lived, you know, in his apartment, but it wasn't in the best neighborhood.
Okay.
But I went, it's like, you'll be okay, and, you know, I'll make sure you're okay, and da-da-da-da-da. I was like, okay, good, thank you. So I decided to do the same thing.
Oh, my God, I think I remember this story.
I decided to cook dinner and invited him to my house, and I have a dining room with a dining room table that is always set because that's just how I like it. And so he got here and he's like, this your house? I'm like, yeah. And so I had a dining room set, you know, for two people. He sat down, we ate dinner, and he got up, he said, I gotta go. I was like, is everything all right? He was like, I got something I gotta do. I gotta go. I was like, oh, okay. Fine, that's fine.
A dining room table took him out.
No, it was the whole house. He later said, because he didn't talk to me anymore. And I, ghosted me. And I was like, what was the problem? Like, I thought we were, I can't afford you.
I didn't know you, I was needed to be paid for.
That's what you see how quiet I am?
Mm-hmm. That's why, like, when you came up with the talk about mental, that intelligence when it comes to mindset, I was all yes, eager, let's go.
Yeah.
Because I was looking forward to hearing other men's perspective, because I'm like,
yeah.
This crap is ridiculous. I'm like, now everybody's want talking about they want this independent woman, that, you know, that they want that woman to be this way and that. But now when you're trying to date someone, you see this woman, no matter whatever that situation, what their motivation is, what their goals are. You see what they're actually doing. They're doing mm-hmm. stuff for you, and you ghost them.
Mm-hmm.
Make that yep. make sense.
Make it make sense.
That's what I'm like.
Yep.
That's why I was like, why? It was like dating. It's like every blue moon, I dip my toe in the water. And I realized, well, it ain't changed. Go back. Mm-mm. Blow dry your toe. Nope. Mm-mm.
Okay, so this is what my friend was talking about. On the issue of content creators doing wild and crazy shit that's totally false, it's a business,
okay.
He says. People lie to get more views and to gain infamy. It doesn't matter if the attention is positive or negative, as long as they're turning a profit and are able to do so from people's stupidity or from the comic act they're putting on.
Yep, I totally agree. Break up, lady.
Oh, I'm sorry. Could you not hear me?
Now I can.
Okay,
I'm
sorry. He said it's on a like a smaller scale, individual creator scale of Fox News. Then he says
yes.
On mental illness, he sent
okay.
me all of his texts. So I'm going to read
okay.
them.
Okay.
On mental illness, he says it depends on the severity of the affliction as well as the severity of the crime that determines liability. Sociopathy shouldn't give people a free pass. But if you have the mental faculties, of a toddler, you will almost certainly get a pass for just about anything because that kind of person is incapable of understanding the gravity of their actions or have any real understanding of morality. The type of
true.
Mental illness 100% matters, as does its death.
Yeah.
Then he says,
he could be close to 30. I can say right now his mindset will always, if he's 30, he's barely turning into his 20s. No, because it was because of the way he was born. He was born a crack baby. So he mentally does not have the mental capacity of normal adult.
Okay.
But that doesn't
I'm
take
sorry,
away
I wasn't
from
laughing about that. Let me apologize.
No, you didn't know. No, it's fine. It's because it's like until somebody hears the full story, it's like it's still a case by case because
mm-hmm.
you have to take in consideration his environment. So his environment, yeah, if he does something bad, he still has to pay the price. But there's a like I said, when it comes to the sentencing, it takes in that mental issue does come into play. So that's where, like, okay, he gets a lesser sentence because he doesn't get a pass because he has it, but it gets evaluated because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I'm like, I agree.
You're right. It does. So this is his last note about
okay.
being friends, male and male friendships.
Okay.
He says, I blame male horniness for why more adult friendships with men don't work than they do. A good male friend almost certainly wants to have sex with a woman, even if they're too polite or shy to actually say anything about it. That's what
that
I was laughing
so
about. Because that's
so
true.
It's so true. It is so true. I love him to death, but I still at the same breath want to wring his neck.
Yes.
because he put me in. I'm like, Dallas is like a 4 to 6 hour drive from where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And I got, my name got put into so much of his marriage drama.
Oh,
yeah. And I'm like, I'm here in Houston minding my own business. Like, what the hell? I couldn't even go to his funeral.
Oh no.
I couldn't, because I'm like, I was his what if.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, bro, I've told you once, a few times, divorced. That's what if.
Mm-hmm.
I love you, but you know, but you, I've been with him. We've known each other since high school.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there when my mom passed. We met through a mutual friend that friend is the friend I told you about that I was helping at the fire academy.
Yes.
So we had that mutual thing, but that we both end up hating his butt. That's why to this day, if I hear the name Chester, I get angry. I'm like, I don't like you just because your name Chester. Sorry.
Oh, Lord.
Because he added, it's like he was more messier than a female. Just
yeah.
How females get to that for being so messy. He
yep.
was worse. And he
yep.
didn't, what killed it the most, you did this towards your best friend. What on earth? You put fake information into his wife's head, creating stuff, and I was the perfect person because I'm here in Houston, not supposedly not knowing what you did.
Mm-hmm.
But you, because you wanted to hear or see the fallout.
Wow.
Your best friend's marriage.
That's not even a friend.
Thank you. That's another reason why I said about doing the show about frenemies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why I was like, yeah, I love that dude to my heart. It's like there's people I want to put on tattoos, but I cannot put his name, his initials on my skin because I'm like, as much as I love you, I could kill you, but you already did. But truly, guys who are really close, yeah, there is that aspect of where they want to.
Yep.
That's why females don't like when their guys have female friends. It's not mm-hmm. always that they worry that the girl wants to do something to them. And sometimes
yeah.
they know the guys want to do, has feelings
yep.
for that person.
Yes.
It goes both ways.
It does. I've been in that situation where my best friend was a guy and
mm-hmm.
we were really close. We were so close that we called each other. Well, listen, I looked at him as my brother,
mm-hmm.
right? Never
yeah.
thought, had an idea, never wanted to sleep with him, but...
Not even in the atmosphere of your...
No.
Well, your friends, not in your song, you're my point of mind.
Exactly.
That's
right. Him, on the other hand, whole nother can of worms, and I'm like, bro, you're my brother. Not really. And that's what he said.
Yeah.
He's like, not
yeah,
for
real. And see, for me, it wasn't, we were always really close, but we wasn't brother, no. Because one thing, because we built each other up, he helped, I always give him a lot of credit for my mindset. Because
mm-hmm.
he was the one that helped. He's the one that helped nurture it. So the part
yeah.
of the reason, the way that I am now, I
mm-hmm.
owe that to him.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, when it comes to my creativity and how quick I am to pop off, I mean, and especially with the mouth, because we used to come up with games where it's like we would create a scenario, and.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we do create our own like soap opera to an extent. But with him, it has to be X-rated. I'm like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
We see how crazy you are. You're gonna find out how crazy I am. Okay,
mm-hmm.
he found out how crazy I am. I'm like, oh crap. So I'm like, you can hear it, but you're not ever, that's never going to happen. Even that, from a kid even to adulthood, he always wanted to go back to that game. I'm like, okay. So you sure? Let's see how we're gonna bring that back to life. Go ahead, you start. He always end up laughing because I'm like, oh, because my sarcastic mouth would do just like what I've been doing today. I'm like, are you for real?
Yeah.
So and he's like, that's why I said it. I'm like, you God, that's why I said it live. But okay.
Yeah, it's crazy. And what's so sad is I really miss my friend, cause
yeah.
But he got a girlfriend. He got a girlfriend, and his girlfriend. I'm like, she didn't. She told him she didn't like me, and I'm like, well, hell, it's you she got to worry about. You the one be talking nasty to me.
But I know that's why I say girlfriends, when they don't want to have anything to do with that guy friend having a girlfriend,
yeah,
it's because they know it's either one of them don't want the other, and they don't really want to be looking at the man wanting to be, it's going to be the man going to be the girl. So you can just get the girl out of the scenario, and I'm like, no, that's not going to happen because there's going to be another girl. So
it is.
Your best bet is to get to know that girl, see what it is about that girl that has him drawn, so that way you can, hey, this is what I need to do, you know, put your own spin on it for it's more you. I'm not saying but you gotta understand it.
And I've had it happen, like, my husband, he had a lot of female friends. And when we got together, a few of his female friends did not like the situation.
No.
They did not like it. They were, and when I met one or two of them, you could tell, like.
Yeah, they were like, oh, no. I've been there more than one time because dealing with frenemies, I tend to have more guy friends than I do girlfriends, and either way is the way that my life seems like my pattern goes. If I don't have guy friends in my life, then I'll have some girlfriends. If I have some girlfriends, they go out, then it's back to having. You know, keeping in touch with the guy friend. But because I'm like, y'all can, because I'm like, yeah, that's a frenemy story.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, because when two friends tried to hook up without telling me, and I'm like, why would that I care? Oh, because the guy that you call yourself hooking up is the one that I told you I liked, and you decided to go do him. But yet you had him coming around my house acting like he was coming to see me, but it was actually come see you. And then when I caught on, you had an issue. But the karma hit that situation.
Mm-hmm.
The karma hit it to the point where, see, she didn't know that when we did hang out, you know, like we would go to the movies, we automatically go see more than one film. We don't get our money's worth. Like, no. So we went to go. They went to try to go to the movies to gain my friendship back. And brother man came up to me and put his arm around my shoulder and leaned in, and that kicks her hoodoo off.
Oh,
he's like, "Oh, you gonna talk to her?" I'm like, "Yeah, the fat chick that you thought that you called the charity case that you thought." Oh, I just carry her, you know, she'll just go around. It's like, I look like that little token thing that you're trying to cheer up, you know, fix up when we go out. But every time when we leave, the guys look at you, but then they see your car and they see the car that I was driving and they kept their eyes on me. Yeah. But we when he leaned in, he leaned in and asked what the other movie that I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
She walked ahead of us, wouldn't say nothing. I'm like, oh, she mad.
Mm-hmm.
But are you going to tell him, as you're supposed to be talking to your homegirl, should we tell him that you're talking to your main man?
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, really. I'm like, y'all really think this crap is supposed to, like, affect me? I'm like, peace to both of you? See, and I told her at first, I gave him more credit because I always saw him in passing. And I'm like, okay, high school. I see you in college. I see you, other places. It's like, okay, fine. You, the girl, I'm like, we talk every day. If we go, like, 2 days without talking, we call and try to figure out what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder why in my very first book, Anger Mismanagement 101, This Is Just Wrong, one of the popular pieces that everybody wanted me to recite was Kiki the Whole Bitch. Wonder what, who got that title.
Oh, no. And on that note, we're going to end the show.
Okay. Never kick off a writer. We might not hit you. We'll write about you.
Exactly.
Well, we still, and you think that writing is no big deal? Shoot. When Lewis Chris came out with Use a Hoe.
Oh, not Use a Hoe.
Oh, I got introduced. But yeah, that's how they let me know what piece they wanted me to do.
Use a Hoe. My God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This has been a fun night. Thank you.
I told you.
As always, thank you. It's been a really interesting night. I want to say, we go let that go.
You going to ask me how to find that freaking piece.
Nah, I might.
Good, because I'm...
I ain't gonna lie to you. I might find it.
I already know. That's what I'm like. I'm trying to think, in what box did I put that in?
Don't find out. Wait.
That's the oldie but goodie.
Yeah. Because
I had that. I had a piece called What Happened to Your Teeth.
What?
Girl, I said the title of the book was Anger Mismanagement 101. This is just
you
long.
Had a fool about somebody's teeth.
It was straight. The whole book was straight dissing. It became popular because everybody wanted to know who was what, which piece was about
who. Who you talking about?
Yeah, that's why it became. It was initially for friends, but it got spread around so much that it turned into everybody wanted to know. It's like a who's who. They want to know who's Poetic Skeletor. They kind of knew this, but like it was two options.
Yeah.
So they were like trying to figure out who.
Well,
just give a writer a reason to write.
I mean, go on and try to find that whole book. You need to find that first so I can read it. But anyway, I'm going to end this show for tonight. I want to thank everyone for listening in to another episode of Night Talks with Sasha. Let everybody know where they can find you, Ms. Gibbs.
You can find me on Facebook or on hpsmagazine.com. If you want to contact me for submissions or wanting to do an article, or we have a brother and sister's review where each you can give your point of view about whatever hot topic or a topic you think needs to be expressed. You can write in your views on it, and it can get published on hpsmagazine.com.
Okay.
You can reach me at DeidreGibbs406@gmail.com.
All righty. Thank you. So next week I will not be here.
No.
I'm going to take a break. Not a break, but I'm just taking that Friday off.
Taking a day off.
Yeah, just taking a day off. We're going to take a Friday off, and then we're coming back. And when we come back, your girl gonna be in the hot seat, and she's gonna get interviewed. Your girl, meaning me. So it's gonna be interesting. I can't wait to see what Miss Gibbs and Riri got in store. It is definitely going to be. It's definitely going to be an interesting night. So definitely, yeah. Stay
see
tuned.
How crazy I am now? Just imagine.
Ooh.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So that's gonna be the 15th, the Ides of March. March 15th, we're gonna have that that show. So definitely stay tuned for that. Like I said, that's gonna be an interview, and then also later on in March, I'm gonna have Unique from Juicy Peaches. You guys know her before; she's been on before. So she's going to be on again talking about the Supersize Expo and some other things that are going to happen in June. So she's going to be on one day in March. I gotta get the date. Yep. I haven't got the date. Well, I got to get a specific date that she's going to be on. And I will let you all know, and you can find it on my social media. You can find it on Facebook under Night Talks with Sasha. You can find it on Instagram. And you will also be able to find, if you know my real name and you know me, then you can find it on there as well. So, but I want to thank you all for listening to another episode of Night Talks with Sasha. And to my guest that was listening, Ryan, thank you. Next time, you got to call in, boo. Got to call in so that we can get you on air. Yes. But,
you have some good favorites.
Yes. Very, very intelligent guy. So, thank you all for listening. Have a great weekend. Be safe. It's going to warm up. Still, wash your hands and wear your mask. Wash your hands and wear your mask.
It is unfortunately coming back. It's spreading again.
COVID is making a return visit. So wear your mask and wash your hands. And wash out that nasty-ass cell phone. Y'all know that phone, that cell phone is nasty. When was the last time you took a Lysol wipe and washed off that, sanitized that damn cell phone? You have it in the bathroom with you. Come on now.
You got the hand sanitizer on your keychain. You can put up on a paper towel and just wipe.
Yep. Put it on there, and the door handles to your car, to your house. Wipe it down.
Anywhere that you normally touch,
yep.
Spray it.
And I say that because your girl
it's
is just
back.
Getting over COVID.
the cases are popping up, starting up again. I know I got to say that even here. So please be very careful.
Yep. Be very, very careful.
That comfort level is not the same anymore.
Nope. So make sure you take your wipes and your sanitizer and your mask. Wear your mask, y'all. It's okay. Like, it'll be okay.
No one's going to look at you sideways. If they do, then somebody has to tell them, it's back. They'll catch on. They'll be trying to figure out where you got it from.
Let them look. Shit. It's your life. But anyway, do what you need to do.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend. Be safe. And I will see you on the next thing that's moving. As always, I am your girl, your diva, Sasha. And like I always say... Let's talk about it, okay? Okay. Bye, y'all.